grace and peace and love from my home to yours. Welcome to Worship with Pine Street Church at Home Edition on this October 25th, 2020. I want to begin this morning by acknowledging what a difficult week it has been for our community and specifically for beloved families in our own Pine Street Church community. Our hearts go out and our hearts are broken for our friends and beloved Roger Drummond and Vondell Martin, who lost their home in the Cowwood fire last Sunday. Roger and Vondell, we love you and we are here to support you, and thanks to so many of you who have reached out to them in what is a shocking and devastating loss. We think of you today, and we think of Bob and Judy Rothy upon the death of Catherine, their daughter, last Sunday as well. We will be lifting our hearts and our minds and our souls and all that we have to God later on in the service in our pastoral prayers, but I wanted to begin with that acknowledgement of these deep losses in our community this past week. We hold them in our hearts of prayer, and we surround them with our love. There is so much happening in the life of our church in terms of personal realities, but also in terms of spiritual growth, in terms of spiritual growth opportunities. And so I am so grateful that we continue to be connected to one another and to God as we continue through this pandemic time and this at-home time. My thanks to Waverly Matthews and so many of you who connect with Art Brunch on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Waverly has an extraordinary ministry within our church, and it reaches well beyond our congregation. So check out Art Brunch on Sunday mornings at 9:30. I'm so happy that the men of Pine Street Church stay connected to one another. 9 a.m. on Tuesday mornings with Men's Coffee Fellowship. Thursdays, 1:30 p.m., Oasis Women's Group meets. They are reading the book So You Want to Talk About Race. And Thursday evenings at 7 p.m., Debbie Setlock has been leading and continues to lead Exploring Sacred Movement. I really encourage you, if you are looking for ways to connect beyond the Sunday morning worship virtual experience, that those are four very easy ways to find friendship and to find community at Pine Street Church. I'm also so delighted that we have launched this creative project. It's called Hyphenated Life. We're co-hosting, David Lomdue and I are co-hosting Hyphenated Life. This is a podcast that is at the intersection of spirituality and culture, and we're looking at that through the lenses of faith and theology and art and music and politics and adventurous conversation. We just released episode one this past week with Dr. Jonathan Lee Walton and Dr. Bill Leonard from Wake Forest University School of Divinity. We talked about good trouble, to use the phrase of the late, great John Lewis, talking about the Bible and race and faith in America. This next episode, this coming Thursday, we'll be talking with David Plazas. David is the Opinion and Engagement Director for USA Today Network in the Tennessean, in Nashville, and we'll be talking about election integrity and talking about how we really promote civil discourse in a polarized society. It's going to be a great episode as we head toward the big election on November 3rd. So check out Hyphenated Life. You can go to hyphenatedlife.org. That's probably the easiest way for you to access all of the podcast episodes. We are releasing those every Thursday morning, so check that out. You can also follow us on Facebook. Go to Hyphenated Life on Facebook, or you can follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or as we like to say, wherever you get your podcasts. So check out Hyphenated Life and share it with your friends. This is a podcast powered by Pine Street Church, but it is a way for us to connect more widely with our community, both locally and nationally. So check out Hyphenated Life as soon as you can. Also, we are going to be launching our Fall Stewardship Series starting next Sunday, November 1, All Saints Sunday, by the way. The theme of this fall stewardship series will be New Horizons 2021. We're living in a time where we are reimagining what church can be, looking for new directions, and frankly, looking for hope as we all step in and continually journey into this unknown time. So we'll be starting that next Sunday. We were to have an outdoor gathering on Sunday, November 1. We're going to change that and make that November 15 instead, due to some production issues and other things, including the weather. So we're going to look at November 15 for that in-person gathering at the home of Stuart and Adderley Lord. That will be weather permitting, and we'll make that call that week as we know better what the weather is going to do. But we hope we can gather together at least one more time, socially distanced, of course, for worship together on Sunday, November 15. Stay tuned for more information about that. As always, our ministry and our life is continuing forward and moving forward again into this unknown time, into this new horizon time. And we're so grateful for all of you who are giving and helping our mission and ministry continue to thrive in this exceptional time. As always, I encourage you to go to our website, pinestreetchurch.net/giving. You can give to our annual operating budget that way, our general ministry fund, which is the engine for everything we do in the life of our church. Also, this is the final Sunday to give to the World Mission Offering. You can find out more about World Mission Offering in the Pine Street Post. The final Sunday for that is today, as we have devoted the month of October to World Mission Offering and have shown you a couple of videos through the Pine Street Post and in our worship experience about what that means. Also, today is the final day for the Boulder Crop Walk. The Crop Walk is intended to end hunger in our communities, and so my thanks to Debbie Setlock for being the team leader of that, and for all of you who have been able to participate virtually in the Boulder Crop Walk this year, deep gratitude and thanks. There's so many different ways our congregation is making a difference in the life of our community, socially and spiritually, and these are some of those. Well, I welcome you to worship this day, and I welcome you to breathe deeply, to inhale God's peace and love, and to exhale whatever fear or anxiety that you might hold in your body, in mind, and heart today. We're going to be wrapping up our series today on full-bodied faith in a time of COVID, living an undivided life. And so I'll be wrapping up a brief message today about what it means to live like everything is sacred. Everything is sacred. Everything is spiritual. So I'll be talking about that today. And as always, please share this link with your family and friends who need a word of hope and challenge in these times. Let us begin with this prayer of invitation and welcome. Gracious and creating God, our life and breath and being is given because of you. Every moment is a given moment. And so we together embrace this given moment for this time of worship, for this time of reflection, of introspection, of inspiration and motivation. May it be so with each and all of us. May our hearts be connected across the miles as we join together and worship you in spirit and in truth. In the name of the one who leads us to life that really is life. Amen.
This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full.
whole message series over the last several weeks has been living an undivided life, full-bodied faith in the time of COVID. We have taken these cornerstones of Judeo-Christian scripture from the Shema in Deuteronomy and from the Gospel of Luke, Jesus reiterating his own tradition and then also revising it to some degree. So where loving God with all of your heart and your soul and your strength and your mind, in some sense we've been talking about at least one of the underlying themes about all of that is embracing the fullness of life in this world, because it's the world we've been given and it's the world we're living in. I'm thinking about the psalmist's words, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It does not mean all things are God. It means that God is in all things, created all things. Richard Rohr says, grass is not God, but God is revealed through the beauty and color and scent of it, especially freshly cut grass, one of my favorite smells. And our children are not God, for instance, but God is certainly revealed through them. And so somewhere along the way, it feels to me like we got divided. Even the whole false division we've created and or inherited of sacred, secular. Whose idea was that anyway? Economic influence, the Enlightenment influence. How did we come to divide the sacred world, the world God created good, and have these divisions of secular and sacred? It doesn't seem like God's idea, because it shows up when we hear folks talk about having a deep spiritual hunger, but it doesn't match up with traditional religion or denominational affiliations. It's almost like the intellectual and spiritual curiosity of people, in some sense, it becomes too big for the church. And so the church can't hold it. Churches everywhere talk about losing membership, wanting to find young people to come to the church and all of that. And we can look or even cast blame in 100 different ways about why that is and get to some golden age of the church that we used to live by, say in the 1950s. Well, that's not the world we're living in now. The spiritual but not religious phenomenon is genuine. And so when it comes to where the church is in all of this conversation, I think it's important to revisit these two cornerstones that make Judaism and Christianity what they are. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It doesn't say love the church with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It says love God. And so we take our cues from the creation story of Genesis, where God calls what God made very, very good. And we take these two hallmarks of Judeo-Christian scripture as our cues as well. What's sad for me is to think about how much the church loses out on people with critical thought, people who think critically, people who are looking to do something impactful in the world, to bring their gifts to bear, to just walk around and live and breathe and have our being in this world God created. The church loses out, and the church has lost out when we don't build a big enough tent or a long enough table to welcome all sorts of different views and viewpoints into the life of the church. And it's not meant to be a knock on the church. It's that we've missed out on saying yes to the sacredness of everything. We've bought into these false binaries, the false divisions between what is church and culture, or what is sacred and secular, or what is us and them. The thing is, when the church is divided from the culture, it's just that. We become divided. If we are to love God with all that we have, it's about embracing all of life. It's about embracing all of our stories, staying conscious and staying woke, if you will, about how God so loved the world. One author puts it like this: certain places are sacred, or we have deemed certain places sacred, like church buildings or graveyards or even seminaries, while others are secular, like my house or your house or schools, athletic stadiums. I know you might like the sentiment, but a candle, or you might not like the sentiment, he says, but a candle lit in a church building is no more holy or special to God than a candle on my 2-year-old grandson's birthday cake. Caution, if that statement offends you, then you are living in that sacred, secular divide. In short, it's all about distinctions and separations and classes and castes. This coming week, before we meet again in this way, Halloween will have happened. It's coming soon. And it's a reminder that we're all wearing costumes in a way. Whether it's Halloween or not, we wear costumes every day and walk around the world living divided according to race or economic means or our job responsibilities, or whether we're a church member or not a church member, or a Republican or a Democrat. We love to just divide things up. It's part of our human tendency. Our guest on our new podcast, Hyphenated Life, this past week talked about some of the costumes we wear. Dr. Jonathan Lee Walton from Wake Forest University School of Divinity said this on the podcast. He said, "There are all these costumes that we wear to exercise a particular pecking order in our society, and in the process, what's it really doing for us? What roles are they really helping us play with one another? It allows us to say, fortunately, I'm not him. Fortunately, I'm not her, or I'm not that. But yet when we take these off with us, if we take our costumes off, our maleness, our heterosexuality, white class privilege, we often see that at the most base levels, the things that connect us are our vulnerabilities, or where we hurt, what our fears are, our anxieties. Those are the things that make us most human, and they also make us most beautiful," he said. And he said, "When I think of the gospel narratives, when I think of Jesus's interaction, whether it's with a Samaritan woman at the well, whether it's those who are dealing with illness, debilitating illness, like leprosy in the gospels, it's those points of pain and those points of vulnerability and those points of weakness that Jesus actually identifies with them and links them with the kingdom of God. And that," he concludes, "for me, when I'm at my best, is when I'm able to break through some of these varying Halloween costumes that I'm in on a daily basis and really just tap into the human condition." I think that's one of the most beautiful realities of the incarnation, God become flesh in Christian tradition. God cared enough about the human condition to come experience it for God's self. "The Word became flesh," St. John says, "because God so loved the world. And yet we divide our lives out as if the world and the church are two separate entities or realities. We divide people out in ways that we don't always recognize right away because we're so conditioned by it and for it." I've talked a little bit lately about Hyphenated Life, this new creative project powered by Pine Street Church, the Hyphenated Life podcast. And that's part of the reason why we created this space for conversation, to create a different kind of space for spiritual and intellectual and soulful curiosity to take hold and to take flight, to break down that false division of the sacred secular divide, or in the words of the great poet and farmer and social activist Wendell Berry, that gets at that in a different way: there are no unsacred places, there are only sacred places and desecrated places. If you need a Bible verse for that, you might think of 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Whatever it is we do, do it with energy and gusto and great joy. It's part of loving God with all we are and all we have. I actually think we are understanding this, if not at an intellectual level, at an intuitive level, right now more than ever. being the church is not the same as going to church. This is one of the greatest unwelcome gifts we could have been given for those of us who have invested our lives in the church for so long. One of those unwelcome but enlightening gifts that we have been given by this global health pandemic. Going to church involves being inside four walls. Being the church goes way beyond that to help us live and move and have our being and live out our passions for God and life wherever we are and with whatever we are doing. So whether you're in business or whether you love the arts or whether you're a first responder or whether you feel God hiking a 14er or taking a meal to a neighbor in need, these are just common examples of how we bust the bubble when we see that our lives are the sacred ground of God. I love the two silent meditations today, and I think they say this really well. One is from Khalil Gibran, the great Persian poet. He writes, "Your daily life is your temple and your religion. Whenever you enter it, take with you your all." Take with you your all. Doesn't that ring of all your heart, soul, strength, and mind? It's like our very own modern monkhood in a way. Or this from Barbara Brown Taylor, hanging laundry on the line. I don't know how many of us really do that, but here it is. Hanging laundry on the line offers you the chance to fly prayer flags disguised as bath towels and underwear. I think a lot about this. I've never been very good at being called pastor or reverend. I'm just Andrew. I'm a human being who happens to be a pastor, who happens to be doing what I do. But the earth is God's, and the fullness thereof, no matter what we are doing, and no matter what distinctions that we want to make or labels that we want to put on things or one another. I reflected recently in writing a little autobiography, as David and I did for Hyphenated Life, and I found myself saying, I am a genuine amateur. I am a genuine amateur. In the sense of the Latin original, literal meaning of that word, which means a lover. Amateur means a lover. A lover of what is good, a lover of what is beautiful, a lover of what is true. And to follow that wherever it leads. And this inspires my own intellectual and spiritual curiosity about anything that is relevant to what it means to be a human being who is fully alive in the realms of faith and theology and art and music and sports and politics and parenting and beyond. This is what drives my desire to be part of the Hyphenated Life podcast. It's what inspires me about the kind of church we are that builds bridges to blast these boundaries of church versus culture, sacred versus secular, us versus them. It's so exhausting. You know, Jesus called people who put labels on others and divided up the world, you know, Pharisees, and I don't mean to, you know, knock Pharisees in the Gospels. They have a lot to teach us, and sometimes I am a Pharisee, right? Because thankfully, we know that the church doesn't own the rights to the world God created in love and by love and for love. God is not that small. God is not contained. Jesus was not contained, certainly, by these boundaries of in and out and sacred and secular, either or, left, right. These labels keep our spiritual imaginations too small. They keep our lives too small if we let it. I think that's why so many people are springing free of religion or church, because we've just made the world too darn small. We've made God too small. We've made the church too irrelevant to what it means to be a full-fledged human being in the world. And so I'd say as we wrap up this series, and some of what I've been paying attention to and learning through this series too, is to let's love God, the way Jesus taught us to do, with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, with full gusto. It is the secret spiritual sauce, I think, to refusing to play by whoever created the rule that the only way to be and see the world is if there are only two possibilities for everything. What would be different if we could see that all life is sacred? All of our life, the world is charged with the grandeur of God, right? All life is sacred. And that the sacred and the secular are actually one. Thomas Merton said it this way: when we are alone on a starlit night, when by chance we see the migrating birds in autumn descending on a grove of junipers to rest and eat, when we see children in a moment when they are really children, when we know love in our own hearts, or when, like the Japanese poet Basho, we hear an old frog land in a quiet pond with a solitary splash, at such times the awakening, the turning inside out of all values, the newness, the emptiness and the purity of vision that make themselves evident, all these provide a glimpse of that cosmic, sacred dance. All of life is sacred. And so, heart, soul, strength, and mind, all of it, until all shall be one. Amen. Thank you. friends and fellow Pineheads, as we sometimes call folks who are part of the Pine Street Church community, I hope that you have been inspired and been impacted by today's worship experience. Again, find ways to connect in the life of our congregation. Be sure to check out the Pine Street post that is in your email inbox this morning. And let's continue to love one another and to care about one another and to inspire each other and to cheer one another on during what is a challenging and difficult time for so many of us. And as we do that, let us share the goodness too. It is so easy to share this virtual worship experience with your family and friends. And if you have social media channels, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, share the love in that way too. And let's be liberal in the way we share our life together. As you go out into this day, it is so important for you to remember who you are. You are sons and daughters of God. You are friends and disciples of Christ Jesus. And the love and the peace and the power and the joy and the beauty and the justice of God are at loose in the world through you. Now go and live like it is true. Amen.